Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you should find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Tuesday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight, and 8:30 to 10:30 on Mondays. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Monday. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Abasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry. And every other Saturday, come join Grey Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds as he brings you bad company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our after midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Join the V-Twins, Victoria and Versus, tonight as they bring you the hearts of LNB. Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Wednesday, join Neutron and Captain as the After Midnight Bombers, and Thursdays are split between Strange Magic with Incoherent Dust, or Black Lace Diaries with Victoria Frost and Mr. M. Fridays are split between Crawling Into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasia and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the concerts and prompts for all of our shows. Call into Richard Collins and hang for fun. And good evening, Pam.
Good evening, Rex. I tell you, you are so damn lucky that I love you. Because really, honestly, the one show you forget is the one you co-host with me?
No, like I didn't, actually.
Yes, you did.
No, that was Mika's Strange Magic.
That's where
I got my hook. My hiccup came with Strange Magic and Black Lace Diaries.
Oh, because I did not hear you say, Into the Darkness. I did not hear you say Crawl Into the Darkness, so I thought that's where the hiccup came, and I thought, well, how could he forget that one?
No, I got the Crawl Into the Darkness. Ha-ha.
Okay, well, then I guess, you're not getting whipped tonight, so that's good. Well, I got to tell you, Rex, I really like your prompt that you chose. CCR is one of my all-time favorites. Now, I'll admit, I don't know a lot about them, but I grew up listening to their music, and I continued to listen to their music through adulthood, and there's just something about the energy of their songs that is just so extremely catchy.
Well, they're out of San Francisco, Bay Area. They formed in 1959. They first went as the Blue Velvets, then the Vision, then the Gollywogs, and in 1966 they switched their title for Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh wow! That is really cool to learn that, because I did not know that. They really went through quite a few names. Okay, I might be mistaken for a different band, but aren't there a couple of brothers in that band?
John and Tom. John actually started the band with a couple of his buddies from El Cerrito Junior High School. That would be Stu Cook and Doug Clifford. They were the three original. And they were backing up Tom, who was the older brother. They'd back him up on recording and performances. Until Tom eventually joined the band.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, I tell you, it's just going to be a fun night tonight, because I can tell that, this is a band that has lasting power, and that people just really enjoy the music. If you're ready, I have a couple of people to bring on and join the party.
All right, honey.
All right, first we have Tom. Welcome, Tom. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Tom.
Hello.
And then we have area code 877. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, this is Dan DeShino, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Dan. Glad you could join us.
Hey there. Yes, and
hey, Dan,
I agree.
How you doing?
Excellent. Creedence is a great band, very underrated. Doug Clifford is also an underrated drummer. He's fantastic. I was actually just listening to Bone on the Bayou today. Came up on my rotation. But they have just such a great feel to them that nobody else really had. And just they're one of those rock and roll bands that, to me, I think represents kind of the United States. They remind me of like Springsteen and John Mellencamp, where there's like they're kind of, the utmost essence of the U.S. So I unfortunately did not get to write for the show, but I do love Creedence anyway.
Well, they were kind of an anomaly, because they came out of San Francisco, but they weren't playing on that level that everybody else is playing into. They were into what ended up being called roots rock, swamp, blues, southern country rock, and then blue-eyed soul as a part of that too, getting all their inspiration through the southern states, bayou country.
Yeah, and as a drummer, I've actually talked to a lot of guitar players who love Doug Clifford, just his style, the way that the accents that he does, he's not a very technical drummer, but he's underrated for his feel and his composition. I think they all are. John Fogerty's actually a great guitar. He writes some great chords. They're a good band.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was for two solid years, 1970 to 1972, they were putting out hit after hit after hit after hit.
Absolutely.
They had like 3 albums in that span, 10 number one singles, and Fogerty was just ripping them out. Tom, at one point, was the original lead singer, and he gave
really
that up to his brother because he realized his brother had more depth and meaning behind his voice that transcended what he had to offer.
Yeah, John's a great singer. You can't understand his words sometimes, but he's a great singer. And hey, it's the dude's favorite band from The Big Lebowski, so you can't go wrong there.
Well, it's nice to have you guys. All right, Pam, should we kick it off?
Mm-hmm.
You sure should. Absolutely. And we actually have a few carryovers from Boston, so we're going to dig into those first. Up first, we have It's Been Such a Long Time by Little 20, and it goes like this. The classic rock of the 60s and 70s had the sort of flow and buzz for that era. It's been such a long time. I want to take you home tonight. I remember hearing these classic songs as a teen and young adult. Now I feel it doesn't always tell a story. Sing your song from whatever genres. To worry if it's not good enough, just sing. Sing a song. So groove to your own beat. Don't worry about the elite. It's your own treat. Hopefully 20 years from now, music will inspire and speak to your soul. So live your life through your music, your flair, dancing, and sing to your favorite song. Every yesterday's music can get in the groove. Whether you like swing, just be yourself. And poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Dan, why don't we start off with you since you're the last one in the room?
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is great. That's probably one of the come on. I didn't get to go to the last Boston one. I want to represent Yo since I'm from Boston. never got to see him. I did get to see hear Brad Delf sing "Get Back" with the Ringo Starr All Star Band, and what a powerful voice that guy had. Let me tell you. But this is a great I think tribute to those songs, and it is kind of interesting. Now I feel it doesn't always tell a story. Sing your song from whatever genres. Don't worry if it's good enough. Just sing a song. Sing a song. So groove to your own beat. You know, it is really interesting how the songs of your generation, speak to you. We all have them. I have, my discovery time for music was actually later in high school and then in college. And, those songs just always just have that feeling to me because that's when I was first kind of, and they have that great feel of that time. One of my favorite times in life was in college, and those songs always just, every time it comes on my rotation, it comes around. And that's, it's interesting about, which I think what this song speaks of, this poem, in a really nice way. How those generational songs just kind of keep them going, right? And they're different for everybody, but hopefully there are people that can still rediscover some of the songs from an older time. And I think there are a lot of younger kids that are doing that now, which is great. So.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much, Dan. And Tom, how about you?
Yeah, I go along with that because I go back far enough to be talking about crystal radios and listening to the 50s rock and roll and hearing about how rock and roll died the first time before Buddy Checker came out with Do the Twist, and teaching my mother how to do that when I was 10 years old in the kitchen because she had a party she had to go to. And it does kind of form you. Now, I was trying to turn my the woman Blanche, who helped take care of my 5 brothers and sisters and I, before I was old enough to do it myself. And I was trying to turn her on to rock and roll, and she turned me on to Race Stations, which was gospel and blues. And it all makes you who you are in a lot of ways. So I love this. Hopefully 20 years from now, music will inspire and speak to your soul. So live your life musically, flair of dancing, and sing to your favorite songs. Because every yesterday music can get in the groove. And she's so right, because while my music the strongest is really probably from like about 1963-62 up to about 73-74-75, somewhere in there, where I was sucking it up the strongest and the most. It all has an effect, and you sort of know what year and what time certain songs hit and shifted your life. Whether it, God, I'm not even going to try to go into it. I like this because it really does speak to how much music really makes us rock and roll.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Tom. All right, Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, this was great. It was. I really liked how she touched on the idea that where she says, sing your song from whatever genres. You know, the whole idea that whatever it is you enjoy, take time to enjoy it. And I really like what Tom had to say about, you know, learning about different music from each other. Like, I have music I like that I learned about from my grandmother, my mother, and even music songs that I like that I learned about because my kids were listening to it before me. You know, I think there's a wonderful thing to being open-minded to all generations of music. So I have to admit that the classic rock of the 60s and 70s and then some the music of the 80s and 90s is probably my favorite. But there's always, in any genre, there's always something to catch your attention. And I like, so live your life, so you musically flair of dancing and sing your favorite songs. Like, you know, just live life to the fullest and dance and don't give a damn what you look like when you are dancing. Just have fun and enjoy life. So excellent fight and very well done.
Well, you guys hit that pretty good, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I'll roll through YouTube now and then just to see what's popping. And there's a whole lot of kids today, youngsters, anywhere from 16 to 25, who were dipping into the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, the music, checking out Zeppelin, Tull, Pink Floyd, Cream, all the big old classics from back in the day, and finding out they're enjoying that music to the point where they'll break it down and have a good time with it and give up great comments on the stuff and finding something new each time they dig into something else. All right, Anne, we're coming back your way.
All right. Yeah, I like those videos, too, where they listen to a song for the first time and make commentary on it. Those are really cool. All right, before we move on to the next poem, I'd like to welcome Kel to the show. Welcome, Kel. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Rex and Lauren and whoever might be out there.
Tom and Dan with us.
Oh, hi, Tom. Hi, Dan.
Hey there.
All right. And now one of our carryovers, Dan, was actually your poem from the Boston contest. So go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Absolutely. And this was a kind of a tribute to Brad Delf, since he was from around here. So it's called Not Just Another Voice Out of Boston. Deep chilling vocalization that rides the breath to power angel wings that flutter and fly and vibrate the very air we breathe, a breath to pierce the spirit of all who listen with auditory delight. And each breath of life contains the duality of death. It is the cure we breathe in and the poison we breathe out. That lighted concert stage may shine so blinding, we forget sometimes that it is a stage. Such complex depth, true fame will be, the art of triumph and tragedy, and those angel wings that sail on heaven's might, the temptation to fall is always in sight. And those seeds of depression planted so long ago, in unforgotten soil, deep within the forest, hidden by a long-lost woodland trail, they have the deepest roots. Roots to nurture a long life and hold tight during the strongest of storms. And these branches on the tree of depression, they reach far skyward, and they breathe the same breath that on those wings of duality the angels do fly. And when the sins that we are made of, powered by the breath we all take, choose to silence, so that we may sing no more, it is despair that will pounce. Despair, a lurking predator hidden in the shadows all these years, patiently, methodically waiting for the chance. In the breath of joy, the breath of life, the breath of song, and the breath of pride, from a city that breathes of music and art, to the cold, merciless hand of despair that lights the match, igniting the fires of breathless poison. I cry as I write these words of despair. Each life, its own battle, no one can compare. And judge not the demons we hold deep from sin, but the acts of redemption from those angels within. End poem. And just for clarity, no problem. I'll read my the right here in case you guys aren't familiar with what happened to Brad. So, as a tribute to Brad, he was I thought he really had an amazing voice, but he had a very life filled with depression and ended tragically. Basically, from what they think was that his guilt from the sin that he did, which I believe was created from his depression itself. And ironically, he took his voice by suffocating himself from carbon monoxide poisoning. I don't know if that was ironically or on purpose, but that's what I wrote about.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I was going to dig into that, but you've done it. Excellent. Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. And Kel, why don't we kick that with you first? What'd you think?
Well, I thought, despite the fact that it was written for the vocalist, I thought it was a very beautiful, in-depth writing. Sorry, I'm having a hard time concentrating. I mean, depression is a horrible thing, and it can take anyone, you know, and it's just awful. It really is. It's awful. I've been there. I understand, and it's a really difficult thing to overcome. So this was a very beautiful tribute to Brad Delp for what he suffered.
Thank you.
Well said there, Cal. Thank you very much. And Tom, how about you?
Well, I'll preface this with the old line is that people who suffer from depression don't do it when they're at the depth of their depression because they're too depressed to move. It's when they get out of it and they fear they're going to go back down again because that's the hell they don't want to return to. I really like what you did here because you spoke to the depression itself and the tragedy that that a lot of times people who have great skills, great art, great souls, not only get blessed with the highs that they create, but also end up tumbling to greater lows, perhaps because they reach so high. I like that. Next to last verse, in the breath of joy, in the breath of light, the breath of song, in the breath of pride, the city that breathes music and art, to the cold, merciless hand of despair, the lights that match, igniting fires, the breathless poison. It sort of catches that, and in the end, you sort of catch that sense of extremes and how those very extremes can be, and it's some ways the greatest pain of all. Very well done. I'm really impressed, Dan. Great piece.
Thank you, my friend.
Well said there, Tom. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really liked this. This is just it's a powerful, emotive write, and it honestly did. Still, it brings tears to my eyes. And I think when, you know, a poem can get a strong emotional reaction or an emotional reaction of any kind, it shows the beauty and the power of it. What I like is that this is it's a tribute to him, but it also talks about the struggles and, as you say, the complexity of dealing with depression while being in the limelight. I like that you use the word breath over and over again, and the use of your the haunting language works very well for the tone. I think what really hits hardest for me, though, is I cry as I write these words of despair, each life its own battle, no one can compare, and that you don't limit this poem to being just about the singer's life, but rather every life that has, you know, struggled with depression and dealt with feeling like everything was just a huge weight on their shoulder. So absolutely a wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you very much.
Well said, Dan. Dan, I like this too, just for the voice you've got in it. It hits on those high notes, the deep chilling vocalization that rides the breath of how angel wings that flutter and fly and vibrate the very air we breathe, a breath to pierce the spirit of all who listen with all fear and delight. There's a great opening stanza. And then you hit on, and each breath of life contains the duality of death. And that was the whole concept behind this, because of his life as a singer and how his death came about in the first place. It is the cure we breathe in and the poison we breathe out. That's quite the thought in and of itself. Yes, we can sometimes choose to retake that poison as we breathe in, realizing that meets its own fury in the moment. And then you hit on the note to depression. I remember him and Tom were together before they actually hit it off. They were recording and mixing music for like 4 or 5 years before they finally got a note. That was 1975. And then all of a sudden, things started happening really, really quick. Because Tom was working at Polaroid at the time. I forget what Brad was doing. But then they had to, they were told to, they wanted to be heard by the record guys. So they had to quickly put some band together behind themselves, a bass player, drummer, and so on. And that hit it. And all of a sudden, now everything's on the fast track. And sometimes, even with depression, you get lost in that life. And all of a sudden, there's those big ups and then there's those huge downs. And especially when things get a little hectic and contentious, so to speak. So this highlights all of that. Because you hit on and the breath of pride from a city that breathes of music and art, but a cold, merciless hand of despair that lights the match, igniting fires of breathless poison. You hit on such a lot of great notes of him, his depression, and how he left as well. So it's a great piece.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Pam.
All right, up next we have More and More and More by Nicolau 50. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. More and More and More by Nicolau 50. Emotions, emotion, take my heart away, but motion's emotion always make my day. And I feel all the way, feeling more and more, even if she doesn't stay, gone by the open door. It's more than I feel, more than a feeling, and I'm feeling still, and I'm still reeling. She's gone, 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 and my mind is here, and her music is in on, so crazy and sincere. And all I can do is feel, 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 and feel again, feeling each feel so real, feeling now and feeling then. End poem. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, I like this. You know, that first line actually makes me think of one of the prompts from Phil's Mae West contest, Sex is Emotion in Motion. So I thought that was kind of cool. But I really like it's more than I feel, more than a feeling, and I'm feeling still, and I'm still reeling. I think the reeling was a good choice of words, of a word for the whole idea of how you know, falling in love can it gives that you that kind of dizzy type feeling almost. There's almost like a physical reaction. And it's a, I don't know, I mean, well, geez, this is like one of those where honestly I could comment on every single stanza because, when, and I'll just say one more line there that like is, and my mind is here and her music is on, so crazy and sincere. I really like my, her music is on, so crazy and sincere, because it gives me the whole idea of when you get to know somebody's music and what they like, it's one of the most important things, at least to me, that you can know about them. Like, honestly, when I meet people for the first time, one of the first questions I ask them is, what kind of music do you like to listen to? So I thought that was an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dan, how about you?
Yeah, that's funny, Pam. I actually do the same thing with music. It's just to see. I've been... I run a small office, and I've actually been having a lot of turnover. I've been training a lot of people, and I ask that even of them when they the first couple of days. So, what kind of music you guys listen to? And just to kind of open the doors. This is great. Emotions. For somebody. As soon as I heard it, it just reminded me of this Billy Squire song. nothing to do with this poem. It's just that's the title of. I don't know if anyone knows who Billy Squire is anymore, but a song by him. But this is really great. If I was going to. If I was going to write about a song, it was going to be this one. This is my favorite, More Than a Feeling is my favorite Boston song. I think the lyrics are amazing. Some of the most just beautiful lyrics of her in rock and roll, I think. And the way the guitar goes with the vocals, it's an amazing song. And I think this captures it really well because the song is really about, you know, feelings and emotions. And, you know, he always says, you know, there's the couple parts in the song, he says, I close my eyes and it slips away, and he's kind of, you know, just about how feelings kind of go off and on. You know, all I can do is feel, and feel again, feeling each, feel so real, feeling now, feeling then. So I thought he captured the essence of the song really beautifully. Nice job.
Great comment there, Dan, thank you. And Kel, how about you?
I thought it was very lyrical, for one thing, and it could almost be set to music. She's gone and my mind is here, and her music is and on, so crazy and sincere. It's got a really good flow and a nice beat to it. I like it.
Thank you very much, Cal. How about you, Tom? What do you think?
Well, I think the thing that really is impressive here is if you look at, he used very, very straightforward language, very simple words, repeated a lot of those words, which normally gets a negative reaction. But here, because he's building a really nice beat and setting up a really good groove, you might say, he captures the listener, the reader, and you come away feeling like you have been told a whole lot more than he's actually saying. And I'm really, it's really impressive. It's done very, very well.
Great catch there, Tom. And I'm running on the same page, dude. The language is simple, but a lot of times when you want to catch something and make somebody stand up and notice, the simple language really works. And like you said, the repetitiveness in it doesn't come across so much as repetitive as it offers up almost a driving, pounding beat behind the words themselves, as if it was the music. And the emotions and motions, but motions, emotion to kind of hit that first stanza, it hits on that note as it walks through the music itself. Great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you going to do next?
All right, up next we have Music, More Than a Feeling by Manoj Naji. And Tom, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Music, More Than a Feeling by Manoj Naji. I remember how melodiously my mum could sing. Her voice rang like the fragrance of spring. I wonder where those happy days have gone. Wish I could retrieve them. One by one. When I listen to those songs again, they lull and console my soul insane. Their lyrics are moving and appealing. The sentiments are more than a feeling. Some melodies evoke reminiscence, raps of nostalgia and remembrance. Ballads churn my blue emotions like a whirlpool in a turbulent ocean. Wind, rain, or quack of a chick all harmonize with the sound of music and poem.
Great read there, Tom. Thank you very much. And Kel, why don't we start with you? What did you think?
Well, I like that it brought up that I remember how melodiously my mom could sing, her voice sprang like the fragrance of spring, you know, and how music has a tendency to bring you back to those days of remembering and the feelings that you got at that time. And it's just, it's a very beautiful expression of that.
Nice. Thank you very much, Cal. And Dan, how about you?
I agree. It's another great piece about, you know, the reminiscing. And I remember how melodious my mom could sing. You know, right, we talked about this a lot. Her mom had you know, her songs that she loved. I really like the, it's a really interesting line, they lull and console my soul insane. You can almost take that kind of two ways where they you know, when your soul is insane, they can, you know, heal it and make it calm down, but then they can also kind of drive you insane with passion with whatever the song is feeling. So that's a really, really interesting line that I liked. But, you know, I think this both incorporated the feeling, what the song itself was trying to get across, but, you know, that reminiscent feeling of kind of listening to these, you know, these songs from the 80s and 70s, and how they still, you know, invoke that love of music for people. So this is great. I really enjoyed it a lot, and I love the flow of it as well too.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan. How about you, Pam?
I really like this. I like the nostalgic feel, and like everyone has mentioned, the idea of looking back. You know, there's just something about when you grow up around music, grow up around art, and you just look back at, you know, all the little moments that you enjoyed and appreciated music. And, you know, I like his use of the imagery of where he says, ballads churn my blue emotions like a whirlpool in a turbulent ocean. I thought not only did that rhyme and flow nicely, but it also really represented very well the idea of how music really does bring out those strong emotions within us. So excellent write and very well done.
Nicely said. And thank you. And Tom, you got to read it. What did you think?
Well, I think he did a beautiful job in creating a definite lyricism with his language and for catching how the music, our whole sense of love and art and stuff, I agree with Sam, starts from the household that we grow up in. People I've known who have a hard time getting into the arts tend to grow up in households where there really isn't that much attention paid to them. And often, you know, sometimes there's a great deal of silence. And his whole thing about the whole relationship that you have to music captures a whole lot of your emotions, feelings. That whole third verse, you know, some melodies evoke reminiscence, raps of nostalgia and remembrance. Ballads turn my blue emotions like a whirlpool in a turbulent ocean. I just, I thought he did a great job of really bringing home how much the past and the present is affected by music one way or the other. Very well done.
Excellent, Tom. I agree. He did bring in the two-note past and present because you that thought right in the outset. I remember how melodiously Mum could sing. The voice sprang like the fragrance of spring. That's such a great opening thought. And the fact that he just delved into the words themselves and drew on his own experience to bring this forth. And I, too, what Dan brought out, they lull and console my soul insane. I found that a great line. Plus, coupled up with the next line that came after that, their lyrics are moving and appealing. The sentiments are more than a feeling. There is that nice still, the reminiscence there. And then the one you just hit on, some melodies evoke reminiscence, raps of nostalgia and remembrance. The ballads churn my blue emotions like a whirlpool in a turbulent ocean. There's that nice calming effect offered in that. And I like the couplet's finish. Wind, rain, or quack of a chick all harmonize the sound of music. Well, we don't often think of the sounds outside that actually do harmonize musically. And that's where a lot of musically inclined people sit on. They'll listen to that which ruffling leaves in the from a wind. They'll listen to the notes of music that just spring forth on the air to them. And they understand that everything works in its own patterns, and they draw on that stuff, which is kind of a nice basis for their core. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
Okay, Pam put one up and asked me to read it.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay. It's Take Your Hat and Go by Inner Sanctum. I thank you for your visit. It's been nice, but now it's late. I think you should be going. It's midnight. I've already told you twice, and my frustration with you is quickly growing. I have to get up early in the morning. Some people have to go to work, you know. Consider this your third and final warning. So thanks for coming. Take your hat and go. And Paul.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. And I see you're back, Pam. So you get to load up on this one first.
Well, thankfully, I had read this one earlier. And I have to say that this just, it made me laugh. I liked that it was just quirky and, I can't think of the right word. But it really, it reminded me of what was, there was something about company starting to, oh, geez, okay, I can't even remember it. I remember my grandfather used to have this really funny sign hanging up about how company wasn't welcome past 3 days, but it wasn't put just like that. It was put in a way that it was, like, humorous. So I do also remember the song. Yeah, that might have been something like that. Exactly. But this has that kind
company's
of attitude.
All right for a day or two until they overstep their welcome.
Yep. I'm putting it in a humorous way. He also had a sign that said poker in the back. Yeah, liquor in the front, poker in the back. And nothing to do with that, but that just came to my mind. So,
boy, is that way off target. That's got nothing to do here.
I know. I just totally.
I mean, that comes across as the Cheech and Chong, the two dogs running around the stage. Yeah.
I know. It had absolutely nothing to do with Inner Sanctum's poem, except for it just popped into my head, and just like a dog chasing a squirrel, I just had to turn towards it. But, I like how this comes across as, like, she's being polite, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? Consider this your third and final warning, so thanks for coming. Take your hat and go. I like the attitude. I like the humor, and I think this is excellent brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Interesting comment, Pam. I'm not sure where that came either, but I've heard that saying before. Bring that one up. It's fun. Anyway, so this is this is interesting. I mean, the lyrics of that song are kind of more like sentimental. You know, I'm sorry, I have to keep going. I'm on the road all the time, and you know, kind of explaining. And this one's kind of like, yeah, I gotta go. Right, I'm done. See you. Bye. I gotta get going. Nice talking to you. You know, this is just. And it made me laugh too. I thought it was really fun. It was just that kind of a take on it. Instead, we've all been both places. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to. Great, we've been where the Boston song is going. I'm sorry, we got to end. We're like, all right, I got to get out of here. I'm done. You know. So that's what this one was. Again, it was very, very humorous and fun, and I really enjoyed it. I thought this was great.
Thank you, Dan. Tom, how about you?
Well, given that I remember the time that we decided. I had a house off campus, and we decided we'd throw a party. And we ended up having the largest number of people at a party that year. Really wasn't what we intended, I promise you. Just worked out that way. And you're really trying to get people to go home. I love this. I mean, the thank you for your visit. It's been nice, but it's late. I think you should be going. You know, I so close to home, that effort to be thoughtful and kind and considerate, but at the same time, you have to put your foot down and go, consider this your third and final warning. So thanks for coming. Take your hat and go. I understand it all too well. It had me laughing myself silly after that second verse. I had a great little poem. She hits it right on the head.
Thank you very much, Tom. Kel, you got to read it. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to go along the same lines as Pam. My mom used to have a saying when guests would come over, pull up a seat and sit on the floor. So you come in and get comfortable, but don't get too damn comfortable. Okay. And this reminds me of, you know, all the times I've had somebody come over to visit and they just kind of overstayed and overstayed and overstayed and, you know, hey, you know, I'm tired. I need to go to bed, you know, or I've got to cook supper for my kids. Don't you think maybe it's time to head out the door? You know, and I really enjoyed this. It was hilarious. It was very well written, and it had that, you know, awesome meaning behind it. You know, you can't ignore. Very well done.
Yep, you're right on that. The tongue-in-cheek humor in this thing was spot on. And you can walk into a couple of different directions. It's the party's over, time to leave, or you've had somebody over for a little love tryst. Hey, it's time for you to go. I got to get up and go to work early in the morning, and I like sleeping in my own bed without anybody there. See ya.
Yeah.
Bye. All right, Pam, coming back to you.
All right. Up next, we have A Spell by Martha Gettle, and I'm going to go ahead and push play on the SoundCloud.
A Spell by Martha Gettle. I am so happy to be me. I wasn't always me, you see. A witch on me, she did put a spell. In the body of a dragon, I did dwell. The witch was mean and out of spite. She turned me to a dragon one night. She said I'd be that way until I found someone who would never let me down. Can I ever find someone out there who for me could truly care? Someone who I could trust in, who would not let me down again? As a fairy, I am a princess revered. As a dragon, none care I'm here. Then one day into my cave came a dragon, Rafi by name. He said he wanted to talk, you see. He'd never seen a dragon like me. Why are you scared of all you see? A big, brave dragon you should be. We became friends from the start. I hoped that we'd never part. I told him all about me and the fairy I used to be. He knew the witch, Esri by name, and spells were her game. He said she cast a spell on me long ago, used to what I am now, you know. She has a desk to change a sack. I have seen her use it. It's a fact. If we worked together, it could be true. We'd get our forms back, me and you. We snuck off to her house one night. In the dark, it was a scary sight. We waited till we saw her go out. Then in her house, we wondered about. We found the bottle the dust was in. From her house, we snuck out again. We dropped the bottle on the rocks, the ensuing cloud we could not block. When I lifted my hand, I saw I was me. Reffy, I had never guessed what I'd see. For there was a fairy of my form and size. I never had a bigger, nicer surprise. I found what I thought I'd never find, one who will stand with me for all time. End poem.
Great read, Martha, and thank you very much for the SoundCloud. We greatly appreciate it. And Kel, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, I love the dragon reference very much. My husband loved the dragons. He thought they were real. But this is really, it's an adorable story, you know, the Wicked Witch and everything. It's got a really wonderful rhythm. You know, the rhyme is amazing all throughout, and I really love the storyline. It's cute. It's very clever, and it's really cute. Well done.
Thank you very much, Kel. Hey, Tom, how about you? What'd you think?
It's a delightful story, well told. See, it's the kind of thing that would could be read to people of all ages, from very young to very old, and everyone would find something to delight in. You know, you have your evil sorceress, you have your person who gets cast in a bad spell, you have the person who shows up who's supposed to help you out, the two of you defeat the witch in your own way, and then discover that there's true romance and love. I couldn't hit all the strokes better if I tried. Really a well-told story and delightful, in a delightful way.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much. And Dan, how about you?
Yeah, this is really beautiful. It's something I've always struggled with, trying to write stories poetically and really tell a good story. And this is a fun story. I mean, the whole time I was reading it, I was thinking fairy tale and pictures and almost like a kid's book where you can kind of I could see the cartoons in a book that you wrote, which is really great when you're writing something and you can really kind of it comes vividly to the picture. I think it was Pam earlier was saying, you know, about the, you know, the words that can really strike emotion with you, and I feel that the same way, and also about like I said, pictures. If it really just draws you in and makes it visual, I think it's great. I was trying to see I'd love to know, she wrote it for prompt 5, which I looked up was smoking. I'm wondering if she got the dragon out of that. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Okay.
It was where she got, like, a dragon smoking, and she kind of came out with that. So I thought that was really, really interesting. But, yeah, this is beautiful. This is great. Like I said, I'd love to see this as a little cartoon book. It was fun.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan. Pam, how about you?
I have to say, I would never have guessed she wrote to the song Smoking. I thought she wrote to the song I Put a Spell on You. I really didn't. That was my automatic assumption. But I like this. Well, Martha has a wonderful ability to tell a story, and the fact that she tells it in couplets. So, you know, with each stanza, she only has a couple of lines to give us important information. And the whole thing keeps us entertained. I think, to me, Martha always also has this really cool ability to choose names for her characters. Like, I like the one that dragon's name is Ruffy, the singer who's known for children's songs. So it kind of connects you with something musical and lighthearted. So, and I like that there's also a message in this of, you know, learning to make friends that don't look like you, who are different than you, and also the message of, you know, appreciating and loving yourself for who you are. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam. Well, actually, you're right. It was written to, I put a spell on you, but I like the thought where Dan continued that thought from Boston into this, and it does kind of fit that with the dragon motif. So I like the extended metaphor in this because it hits on that notion. No problem,
Dan. I thought it said prompt
your
five,
comment
so
fit,
I was looking
fit
at that.
Most,
so
it worked out well. But I did like the extended metaphor in this because it hits on that note of even when you're truly alone and feeling that there is nothing out there for you at that that chance encounter that sparks something that does birth. There's hope in this. It offers up that the moral of don't ever give up on things in life. There's always someone for somebody. That's that type of thing. It's got that moral thought of don't give up on yourself or life itself. When you least expect it, something will happen. All right, Pam, coming back your way.
All right. Up next is Stop the Rain by Longfellow Serenade. And Dan, will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. 2 seconds to get it here. Stop the Rain. How can I stop this rain from falling down? I fear that I won't see the sun again. Lord help me, I believe that I may drown in lakes of tears leaked from a dam of pain. How can I make these darkened storm clouds part? How can I stop this cold and roaring wind? Anxiety is climbing off the chart as I pray for these storms of life to end. The thunderclaps now echo in my chest as lightning strikes pure dread before my eyes. The tempest leaves me feeling so oppressed, and heavy rain is drowning out my cries. I try to calm myself, but it's in vain. Please, someone tell me how to stop the rain. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, step on up and tell us what you think.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Well, I think this is just a wonderful extended metaphor. You know, I like how, you know, it physically talks about stopping the rain, but it's really just all about trying to feel better, to get over the pain and the hurt that you've been through. I really like this all the way through, but especially anxiety is climbing off the chart as I pray for these storms of life to end. The thunderclaps now echo in my chest as lightning strikes pure dread before my eyes. It has that kind of feeling of everything and everyone being against you, like that you feel they are, and that it's a matter of just trying to overcome all the negativity swirling around inside you. So excellent write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you. Kel, how about you?
I really like this. It's a very melancholic, and but it's also a little bit powerful. As you know, trying to get help. You know, how do you stop the rain? You know, this won't stop. It won't stop. Anxiety is climbing up the chart. It's really well done.
Absolutely, thank you, Cal. All right, Tom, how about you?
Well, this is telling a story in its own way, and I like how he uses end rhyme and a great sense of rhythm to create a really strong piece. We're really looking at three stanzas, I mean, with a quick two-line finish, and yet it's sharp. It makes itself very, very clear. It doesn't get caught up in any kind of excessive or overly dramatic language, and yet you come away with a sharp sense of exactly what it's about and feel like you have been given something that catches every aspect, leaves nothing unsaid. Very well done. I'm very impressed.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tom. Dan, you got to read it. What did you think?
I did. And what Tom was saying about the three stanzas, you know, I kind of looked up the, because I wasn't sure, so I looked up the song, and the song itself only has three stanzas, Who Stopped the Rain. So I thought I'm still trying to actually figure out how he did it. It's kind of very impressive that I think he captured the essence of the song, Who Stopped the Rain, but also made it a completely different song, a completely different poem that he wrote. So it was really, really interesting and amazing how he did that. And I agree with what everyone else is saying about, you know, the great metaphor for rain falling down and kind of soaking everybody is really can be depressions and darkness and you know, something that we have to fight over. That's, you know, the dark clouds. You know, how can I make these darkened storm clouds part? How can I stop this cold and roaring wind? And the rhyming was great as well, too. So, again, it was pretty impressive how I thought he captured the essence, but also made a completely different take on it, and still kept with the kind of the same vein and rhythm of the original song. So, it was really great. I like this one a lot, absolutely. I do want to say I do have to run, everybody, so good night. I'm sorry I have to leave so early, but always a pleasure and an honor. So, everybody, have a great
that's
night.
All right, Dan. We're thankful for what you can give us.
All right, take care, everyone.
Good night. All right, I got to hit on some great thoughts in this. I got to add a heavy note of grief that falls within this. The tempest leaves me feeling so oppressed, and heavy rain is drowning out my cries. There's such a, plus the echo of the heartbeat rolling in this. It has me thinking of losing someone and the overbounding pain that comes off of that. Plus, he did it in a sonnet form. So, nicely done there, Longfellow. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Great comment there, Rex. And up next we have Wendy's Food Can't Be Beat by Brother Jacob. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
Wendy's Food Can't Be Beat by Brother Jacob. In the afternoon, just around lunchtime, cars at Wendy's drive-thru, such a crowded line. I'll have a number one and a number five. May have some ketchup with my side of fries. At Wendy's drive-thru, getting ready to eat, Dave's single and 10-piece nugget, Wendy's food can't be beat. I'm chomping on a burger and drinking a sweet tea. I'm as happy, happy as can be. I just ate my nuggets and finished all my fries. I love Wendy's so much, no matter what it does to my thighs. At Wendy's drive-thru, getting ready to eat, Dave's single and 10-piece nugget, Wendy's food can't be beat. And poem, parody. Kel, why don't we start with you?
I like Wendy's. And it's just, you know, this happens that it's only about $3 for me, so it's handy. The thing is, though, now with the corona, you can't go in. You know, so I have to walk through the drive-thru.
Well, that anyway, does make things easy. Yo, pull up the window. You don't have to lean out.
And you're going to get the people behind you kind of, you know, you can just imagine what the heck they're thinking, you know. Well, you're already there. Fuck up. Get out of my way. Hey, I have just as much right to be here as you do. But anyway, I thought this was really a cute little piece and a wonderful little tribute to Wendy's. Awesome.
Thank you, Kel. How about you, Tom, for a little bit of fun in the Wendy's drive-thru?
I was sitting here sort of humming the song in the back of my brain, and it's a good parody. I would find myself laughing with hysterically, if the CCR actually sang something like this, but might never recover. But it's really well done with a great sense of humor. It just makes it delightful.
Absolutely, thank you, Dave. Tom, and Pam, how about you?
This was really fun. Yeah, I think Wendy's ought to be paying this poet a little bit of a commission for shamelessly promoting them on the show. In fact, yes, Brother Jacob should get a cut, and Rex should get a cut. And if
well,
nothing
they
else,
might not like the sort of no matter what it does to my thighs.
That's true. A lot of fast food places don't like to be pointed out that they add weight to the thighs and other areas. You know somebody really enjoys a place when they know exactly what number meal that they're going to have. This was creative, it was fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pat. And Tom, you're right. This does have that great flavor of hearing the music in the background and knowing this actually fits very well. And it's offered up with a great bunch of humor, which pokes fun at us as well. And that's always a great thing to push forth. Nicely done, Brother Jacob. We enjoyed this. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
All right. Has anyone here ever lived near or been to Culver's?
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Culver's, well, it started in Wisconsin, and it's such a Wisconsin thing. They have what they call butter burgers, and basically every burger they make is cooked in butter, and then the bun is slathered with butter.
Oh, God. That makes Five Guys look like
they're actually really freaking good.
I'm gaining pounds just thinking
as
about
the
it.
As the artery to harden in situ.
I feel my artery hardening as we speak.
Well, I think they're absolutely yummy, but I just had to ask out of curiosity, and yes, they are quite the strange. Well, let's face it, I don't think people up here are known for the healthiest eating all the time. So, all right. Right? Exactly. All right. And Tom, I put your poem up next. Go ahead and give it a read.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ready, steady, go. She was a strutting and a fussing like a woman of class. She could dance. She walked up to me and took my hand, ready to fandango, a challenge to score. I thought I was ready. She asked for more. Time to get ready, time to boogie home, time to be steady, time to lose being alone, time to go with a roar of the wind, time to win. Yes, we danced the fandango, cleared the ballroom floor, we danced the moonlight, made them swoon. Yes, we danced in syncopation. By the end of the evening, she was mine, evermore. Time to get ready, time to boogie home, time to be steady, time to end alone, time to go. With a roar, I made the final score. End poem.
Great read, Tom. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you're up first on this.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I had to go read it right away as soon as Tom and I were chatting in LNP. He mentioned to me that it's his better half's birthday, and of course I had asked if he wrote her a poem, and he told me he did, so immediately, I went over to look at it, and it's just so much fun. It's, the whole idea of when you meet somebody for the first time and they make that impression with you, and, the fun language. Time to get ready, time to boogie home, time to be steady, time to lose being alone, time to go with the roar of the wind, time to win. I like the use of the fandango and even the use of the word syncopation. It's not easy to put the word syncopation in a write that has a humorous tone, but you pull it off so well. And what I like about this is I get the impression that she put her foot down and told you exactly how, where the relationship was going to go. And so many odd years later, you don't regret that she told you which way to dance. So, excellent, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, how
wife's
about you?
Oh, I thought it was an amusing little right. He took up a challenge, and the rest of it was another story. It's yes, we danced the Fandango, cleared the ballroom floor. We danced the Moonlight, made him swoon. Yes, we danced in syncopation. By the end of the evening, she was mine evermore. That's just really excellent writing. It's clever, it's cute, and it's fun. Good job, Tom.
All right, Tom. I like that first stanza, especially the fourth line and Fandango rolled in there. Because for me, there's two thoughts on that. The fun kinetic angle with Fandango itself. And also, it was the title of one of ZZ Top's albums, and it would have had some live music on it. So that added a little bit of a kick and fun to this piece, which I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that doesn't matter. Especially when you hit on the boogie as well in this, that kind of gives me that thought that a little bit of ZZ. But I also hit on the humor you got in here. I thought I was ready. She asked for more. And then when you hit up on the end, time to go with a roar, I made my final score. A little closing note to a bit of fun in there, especially since you labeled it, ready, steady, go.
Yeah, well, you know, instead of America, they say, get set, on your mark, get set, go. But I found out my British friends, it's ready, steady, go. So I could pass it up.
Well, it's funny because the Brits, it's ready, steady, go.
Right. And that's the reason I chose it was sort of, CCR is definitely American, but, you know, you look at the 11 Spoonful song about that good time music. The British had to come to America, you know, to get us to listen to the music that was homegrown.
I know. Oh, yeah. Mondays. All right, Pam, we're coming back here. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom, what was that?
No, just my whole relationship to music covers a lot of territory. Sure, yours does too.
Absolutely.
Hey.
All right. Kel, your poem is up next. Go ahead, give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Over and Over by Kel Smiles. Trying to get a good night's sleep, went to bed early, taking a chance. Wanted to be sure I got enough rest, couldn't afford to miss the alarm. Mind keeps on churning, body constantly in yearning, turning, 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 over and over. Cheeks feeling like burlap sacks, hot then cold, gotta turn over. Pillow jammed under my shoulder. What the hell? I need to slumber. My mind keeps churning. Body constantly in yearning. Turning, turning, turning over and over. Quilted covers are just right. Hanging outside, feet and knees comfortably settled on my side. Wouldn't you know? I have to pee. My mind keeps on churning. Body constantly in yearning. Turning, turning over and over. My mind keeps on churning, body constantly in yearning, turning, 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 over and over, and poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. I hear Tom laughing in the background. All right, Tom, what'd you think?
Oh, it's delightful. Obviously, you have nights where you can't sleep. It shows. I just love the... Sheets feel like burlap sacks, hot and cold, got turned over, pillow jammed under my shoulder, what the hell, I need to slumber. And then that quilted covers are just right, hanging outside, feet and knees, comfortably settled on my side. Wouldn't you know it, I have to pee. That's just great. The humor in this is just tremendous. And my mind keeps on churning, body constantly yearning, turning, turning, turning over and over. It's just, the whole thing just works beautifully. I thought you did it really, really well. That's just good stuff.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much, Tom. All right, Pam.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, wonderful humor, very relatable. So much of this, you know, like the hanging outside feet and knees comfortably settled on my side, wouldn't you know I have to pee? I can relate to that. There's been plenty of times I've laid in bed thinking, can my bladder hold out? And then I like how you repetitively say, churning,
you're
going to
go that route. You better make sure you have rubber sheets.
Right? I'm probably a few short years away from rubber sheets and Depends, but I plan on, once I get Depends, I'm going to go with the sexy kind, with the lace.
The Super Soaker model.
Exactly.
Oh, the things we concern ourselves with.
Oh, hell. Cal, you had way too much
Let me say one more thing. I got slightly distracted, but let me also tell Cal that I really like this all the way through, but I especially like that third stanza too, where it says, sheets feeling like burlap sacks, hopping cold, got turned over. That's wonderful stuff, girlfriend, all the way through.
Thank you very much, Pam.
Nice you said that. All right, Cal. You definitely did have way too much fun doing this. And by the time I got to that third stanza, too, I said, oh, this is going to get a little stark. The burlap sacks, the hot and cold turnover, pillow jammed on my shoulder. And then the next one, you go the Goldilocks. Oh, this one feels just right. Yeah. Not quite good enough. Now I have to get up and pee. So that kind of hit the same tone with the burlap sack angle. And it's, nothing is quite right, and it's going to be a rotten, miserable night. So why not have a little bit of fun with it?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
All right, up next we have Music Meteorology by Eric Svensson, and we have a SoundCloud for that, so here we go.
Music Meteorology by Jove, by Jupiter, expletives known and unknown, blindfolded, but first guitar strings still shake, chicken legs in my face, kudos, similes, synonyms, fervent fricatives, accolades, Thor's mighty thunder drum roll. Precocious cad once quipped, if you can't play chess, your education is lacking. Gambit, ambit, and attitude to boot. No bad, if you don't do CCR, the School of Life awards you a Z minus. Iconic music has magical Blarney Stone powers. Once CCR penetrates your psyche, there's no turning back. Immediate teletransportation to classified top secret heart chambers. No matter what shape you prefer, Pentagon opens its lead-sealed doors. Have you ever seen the rain? Oh, my hat, garter and gloves. First guitar chords pour a poet down remembrance tube. First taboo, mighty mojo love affair. Wild wave biped from wrong side of rail tracks. Renegade rebel revved up the volume. You know these guys? Empty beer bottles clicked, clanked together. Musical intoxication usurped all faculties. Farmlad knows rain, but this was deluge in overdrive. Major influence these guys still are, since global pandemic padlock clear skies. There's been so much rain, yes, so much via social media grapevine. Guitar strings march with grim determination, voice raises to higher pitch. Beware the grapevine. Chess, with one night in Bangkok, better. Gambit, ambit, and attitude nonsensical. Feel the devil walking right next to me. Right as rain? You must be joking. Have you ever seen the rain? There's a calm before the storm. If music are milestones in life's odyssey, CCR stands Empire State Building tall. 1970 and the first decade ticked off on life's journey. A decade of sublime pastoral bliss. Potent portent, have you seen the rain? Was every time the song played on the wireless, I got this uncanny feeling in my gut. What was this rain they were singing about? A decade later, the rain started pouring. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, you get to kick off.
Wow, I tell you, you know, Eric is so creative with his writing. He has this way of bringing a touch of nostalgia but really gets deep into the music. I really like once CCR penetrates your psyche, there's no turning back. I like that because I feel like it's I feel that's one of those poetry lines that expresses how I was trying to say how I feel about CCR, but just couldn't quite come up with the right words. And so when you get a line like that, I think that's wonderful poetry because you can look at the poem and say, yes, this person is expressing something that I connect with, that I wish I could have expressed that way. I like that he brings us back to how in his farm boy days, wondering what was this rain they were singing about? And a decade later, the rain started pouring. That was wonderful imagery there. Also, iconic music has magical Blarney Stone powers. Once CCR penetrates, I heard that part, sorry. All right, trying to find. First guitar chords pour a poet down, remembrance to first taboo, mighty mojo, love affair. I think there's something about that first rock and roll music, that first heavy metal music, or whatever it is that was taboo to your family, your parents, or that nobody else listened to and you discovered and connected with, that just kind of sticks with you throughout your lifetime. Just wonderful use of imagery and metaphors throughout, and very well done, right?
Thank you very much, Pam. And Tom, how about you?
Well, I went for years thinking that Bad Moon on the Ride, they were actually saying Bathroom on the Right. So anyway, I enjoy Eric because he has a way of sort of exploring both the magic of what he's talking about, but also using almost a magical sense of language to do it with accolades, Thor's mighty thunder drum roll, precocious cad once quipped. And then we're off into all the different ways that, you know, rock and roll music has both entered our lives and people have argued with it as being not worth our time. You know, it's all jungle music. Send you all straight to hell and all that good stuff. First guitar chords pour a poet down remembrance to first taboo. I mean, the way he plays with words, both the assonance, the consonants, the similarities in sounds, it's just a delightful journey in many ways. The minute he starts talking about whatever it is he wants to talk about. And this is a wonderful tribute to CCR. Definitely well worth the hear.
Excellent, Thomas. Thank you very much. All right, Kel, how about you?
Oh, my God. I love this. iconic music has magical Blarney Stone powers. Once CCR penetrates your psyche, there's no turning back. That's just fantastic writing. But, you know, I love his metaphors all throughout, you know, and this is just very powerful, and it's an awesome tribute to CCR and their music. You know, because he mentions quite a bit of that in here as well. And I really quite enjoyed this.
Nice. Thank you very much, Kel. I was struck by some lines in here, too. Blindfolded, but first guitar chords still shake chicken legs in my face. It's that nice touch you put a spell on you, a little voodoo thought within that line. I like that. And a precocious cat once quipped, if you can't play chess, your education is lacking. And then drops in at the back end of that. No, bud, if you don't do CCR, the school of life awards you a Z minus. Hit that note of, you best be learning while you're out there. And he hits on that thought of 1970 being his first look outside the box, so to speak, on his own. And he offers up that thought, magical Blarney Stone powers. And that's kind of funny considering it. Kissing the Blarney Stone is supposed to give you the gift of gab, yet Eric always manages to drop in some clever notes in his piece that get you thinking. He drops in like, oh, my hat, garter, and gloves. First guitar chords pour a poet down remembrance tube. First taboo, mighty mojo love affair, wild wave biped for wrong side rail tracks. Renegade rebel revved up the volume. You know these guys? And then the quote with a What was that?
I was talking to my dogs.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I thought I was on mute.
No worries.
This thing is packed with some driving thoughts all the way through it, plus some memorable evenings along the way. One night in Bangkok, better. There's some touches to note that you, wow, sounds like you had a lot of fun in that first decade on your own there, Eric. All right, Pam, coming back your way.
All right. Up next we have I Read It in the Night Sky by Diane D. And we have a SoundCloud for that, so here we go.
I read it in the night sky. I heard it through the grapevine. Unraveled by Diane D. Ooh, yeah, have to mention that I know that you need to let me go. An old dying flame knocked on your back door. Listen to the lip of lies, that's what the truth is for. It's not the best of news, I found out. All I know, it's filled with doubt. Ooh yeah, I read it in the night sky. That it's over, I'm not that guy. Ooh yeah, I read it in the night sky. And I was waiting for a new lie. Sadly, sadly, why? You told me that love is allowed to die, but the pain you seem to enjoy. Nothing else do I want to be, but for now I will set you free. I wonder why you let go. Your lies were getting old. But then I read it in the night sky, that it's over, I'm not that guy. Ooh yeah, I read it in the night sky, and I was waiting for a new lie. Sadly, sadly, why? I know that the lies will hold you back, but no, you won't face that truth. It's not like you're gonna have to lose. If you're gone, I would like to know. It's your choice to shut the door for some other flame that you used to love. Ooh yeah, I read it in the night sky. that it's over. I'm not that guy. Ooh, yeah. I read it in the night sky, and I was waiting for a new lie. Sadly, sadly, why? Ooh, yeah. I read it in the night sky, that it's over, I'm not that guy. Ooh, yeah, I read it in the night sky, and I was waiting for a new lie. Ooh, yeah, I read it in the night sky, that it's over, I'm not that guy. Ooh, yeah, I read it in the night sky, and I was waiting for a new lie. Sadly, sadly, why?
Beautiful karaoke.
Great read, Diane. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Kel, why don't we start with you, please?
Unmute.
But you got to unmute first. All right, Pam, how about you?
I like this. It's a great recording. She balanced the background music really well with her reading voice. I also like that she wrote from the point of view of a guy because, you know, I think when somebody writes from the point of view of the opposite sex, it shows a willingness to kind of step out of a boundary, a comfort zone that shouldn't be there for poetry. And I thought it was a spot-on parody as far as, you know, the meter and the rhyme. And I really liked it all the way through. But I especially, all I know, it's filled with doubt. I thought that was a strong line in the whole idea that sometimes it's all about trusting your instinct. And I really also liked, I read it in the night sky. It kind of has me that kind of reference of, you know, something that's in the stars. And while you usually think of that as like star-crossed lovers or, you know, people who were meant to be together, sometimes it seems like fate, no matter, tells you that, nope, this isn't the person you're meant to be with. And I also like how she has that line about, you know, it's your choice who you open the door for. And so I really felt like it was just all about, you know, making those choices and not putting up with somebody who's going to treat you like their second or third or fourth choice. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Tom, how about you?
Well, I thought that Diane did a great job. I look at this as sort of poetic karaoke. she just did a great job of picking up the beat, the way the whole song was put together. And as she said, it's, you know, I heard it through the grapevine unraveled. So she's talking about how he's gotten tired of all the lies. He's gotten tired of all the games. And he's read it in the night sky, you know, it's time to say goodbye. And I was waiting for a new lie. Sadly, sadly, why? That's it. That's over. I'm not that guy. I just, there's a sense of humor in this at the same time, which just made it fun to hear.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you on that. There is a tone of humor in this, as well as she took the song, the original, Heard It Through the Grapevine, and dug into it and owned it on her own thoughts by running into those little nice little tidbits. I read it in the night sky. For that one, I heard it through the grapevine, all right? And she kept playing on that angle, but she did drop in some, that it's over, I'm not that guy. You told me that love is allowed to die, but the pain you seem to enjoy, nothing else do I want to be, but for now, I will set you free. A cleverly done piece that kind of walks the flavor of the original, but definitely is her own rendition all the way down the line. All right, Pam.
All right. Up next, we have Covering Ground by Peter Solway. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
Covering Ground by Peter Solway. CC Revival Band from proud Mississippi to bad noon in Birmingham. Candlelit redemption, packing a tent, and going home. From Madonna with another, poisonous vines, venomous wines, starting no romance again. CC Revival Band, Reduced to One, Bemoaning, and No Unfortunate Son, Evil Moon Still Rising, Reign of War Unrelenting, touring again in time of lockdowns, Preaching Brethren, The End in Hand, a one-man band, and who? I say who? Lord, listen, empty seating all around, music gone to private headphones, Blood of Noah to return, Bad Moon, No Dove Nor Rainbow, Stable Land. But light and redemption's in, home with all kin, unpacking tracks, Christmas at the birthing, ribbons and rivers of meaning, from a well-traveled musician, moth doom, spots to stop, touching up font life, Scorpion Moon, Riverboat Sun, John with straw hat, hay between teeth, humming in garden, royalties in bloom, Proud Mary getting a scrub down, rhymes of Wordsworth rolling. Energy of music, gospels of confession, preacher, white and black, swamp wrestling, man and woman, alligator with smile to sell, Jesus saying, when the two are as one. Bad Moon education, always a competition, what Adam heard online, on the sliding grapevine, college of privilege, no better than prison. But always a homecoming, Bad Moon diminishing, Venus to kiss both dice and light, land on a garden patch, needing to be shooed off, returned with singing kin. End poem. All right, Pam, there's a mouthful in there for you.
All right, well, I tell you, Peter just has a style all his own, and your reading voice just really fits well with his style. I really liked how he, he has imagery that's religious, and yet kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not like it's preachy. It almost has a humorous tone to it. But Light and Redemption in Home with All Kin, Unpacking Tracks, Christmas at the Birthing, Ribbons and Rivers of Meaning. I really like that. And John with a Straw Hat, Hay Between Teeth, Humming and Garden, Royalties in Bloom, Rhymes of Wordsworth Rolling. I feel like there's kind of this idea that there's so much different essence and people that CCR relates to. When I really feel that speaks of that in the stanza, energy of music, gospels of confession, preacher, white and black, swamp, wrestling, man and woman, alligator and smile, still Jesus says, when the two are as one. You know, I really feel like the part of this poem has to do with how CCR is a tribute to CCR and the idea that they're not a band or a music limited by culture or race, that they're something that, can bring people together, or even just the idea of music itself bringing people together despite cultural differences. I just think this is a wonderful creative write that he always offers up plenty of food for thought, and it's very well done.
Like you said, Pam, thank you very much. And Tom, how about you?
Well, I can't say a whole lot, and I covered a lot of ground. I liked all the references, you know, the Fortunate Sun, the Bad Moon, and other places where he made references to their music and their songs. I like the way he mixed sort of a gospel undertone into the whole thing, because there's a lot of that in CCR and the way music goes together. That kind of speaks to its southern roots, but also to how much gospel music plays into the entire blues Creole sound that they work off of, I enjoyed the language, the energy of the music, gospels of confession, preacher, white and black, swamp wrestling, man, woman, alligator, and smile to sell, Jesus saying, when the two are as one. It's just fun, and but at the same time, a real demonstration of somebody who has a great sense of the music and a great sense of their own poetic skills. Dynamite damage.
Excellent. That was wonderful there, Tom. Kel, are you back yet?
The dog settled down?
Yes, but no. I was here before, but I'm still having issues. They don't want to stop playing on my bed. And I've sat him out of the house a couple times. So I'm going to make this very brief. I really like this. I like the references to CCR's music. I like the references to gospel because they had that gospel feel to them. I really enjoyed all of it all the way through. It was a very beautiful, well done tribute to CCR.
It was, and you guys hit on a lot of the flavors I did too, because he hits on that revival in that first line. Then you look at the second stanza, candlelit redemption, packing a tent and going home. That does hit you with that note of a revival meeting, so to speak. And then again, revival band, bemoaning and no fortunate son, reduced to one. It kind of hits on that note of John is touring pretty much as a solo act with a backup and still touring to this day. So he hits on that note with the, music gone to private headphones. All of a sudden, everything's going the other route because everything's been closed so much. And what else we got? But I like this one. Instead of hitting on that note with that light, put a light in the candle, put a light in the window, so what's something like candle in the window. He's got, but light in redemption's in. I thought that was a nice, clever opening up for another stanza, too. And from a well-traveled musician, John with straw hat, hey, between his, hitting on some notable thoughts to being that country kind of fella. Nicely done, Peter. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, back to you.
All right. Awesome observations you made there, Rex. Up next, we have A Rambling Soul by Marius Alexandru. And Tom, will you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Marius Alexandru's poem, A Rambling Soul. Don't stop watering our love's flowers. Don't let it die while I'm gone. We have roots in the same power. Let the candle always be on. I have a wandering heart, a rambling soul. I have to go, but I'll be back. Some things are beyond my control. Some other things I have to track. I won't get lost in the unknown as long as I can smell our flower. I will never be alone. I will feel you every hour. I have to go. I don't know why. Please let the candle always on. I will be back, so please don't cry. You'll hear me knocking before dawn. End poem.
Great read, Tom. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what'd you think?
Well, first of all, wonderful rhyme and flow here. I really like how this person, you know, admits that they have this desire to wander, but yet at the same time, they know they'll be back because there's this kind of stabilizing element in their relationship with the other person. I have to go. I don't know why. Please let the candle always on. I will be back, so please don't cry. You'll hear me knocking before dawn. And I feel like dawn isn't just like about a specific time, but rather that, you know, there will be this sense of light and fulfillment when the two reconnect. So I think it's a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
I agree with Pam 100%. I like the references to a love flower, you know, and keeping it watered because whenever he smell this flower, he'll think of them together, and keeping the light or candle burning so he can find his way back home. I mean, it's just really a brilliant, powerful piece. I really liked it.
Thank you very much, Kel. All right, Tom, you got to read it, so how about you?
Well, one of the thing I liked about it was that unlike your typical poem, similar to I Heard It Through the Grapevine, you know, this one he goes, let the candle always be on. Some things are beyond my control. Some other things I have to track. What Kel said about the flower, you'll hear me knocking before dawn is the end. I mean, it's one of these things where whether he's a sailor or somebody who's, you know, in a business where he already has a whole lot of prior commitments that he has to deal with in distant areas, it sounds a lot more like that to me than any kind of kiss-off. And I think he handles it really well, and it fits well with the idea of put a candle in the window, which is the prompt he's working off. I don't want to say it. It's one of those things where I found myself involved in the poem before it was over.
There you go. You guys hit on just about everything, but I will offer up one thing. I think those last two stanzas might be a kind of reference to the permanent leaving, death itself. Please let the candle always on. I will be back, so please don't cry. You'll hear me knocking before the dawn. And then that book, I have to go, I don't know why. So that has me thinking of passing over to the next realm. Just always keep the light on. All right, Pam, coming back to your way.
I like that thought, Rex. Very cool there. All right. Up next, we have Golden Star by Betty Page, and it goes like this. I'm your golden star, rock and roller at the bar, sipping on rainbows, intoxicating like sweet melodies, dancing, wild, rhythmic, fine thing. I'm your golden star, rock and roller at the bar, sipping on rainbows. Central plaything, fallen angel, broke my wings, a risen phoenix. I'm your golden star, rock and roller at the bar, sipping on rainbows. Titillating sass, luxurious pussycat, nice tits and fine ass. I'm your golden star, rock and roller at the bar, sipping on rainbows. Shimmers when kissing, shooting through your universe. I'm your golden star. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Cal, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, wow. I like the rhythm. I like the way she, I like the repetition with the, what could be considered a chorus possibly. I like the little bit of sass she puts in it. You know, it's just really, really a fun piece.
Well, thank you, Pat. All right, Cal. Tom, how about you?
This is Betty Page, hot, sexy, sassy, playful, able to titillate and be rather frank, but at the same time, magical and mystical in her own way. This is a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tom. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What'd you think?
Yeah, this is a fun and sassy write. I really like the chorus that she put in here. I'm your golden star, rock and roller at the bar, sipping on rainbows. I like the line sipping on rainbows because it makes me think of how someone who just tries all those different kinds of fruity and colorful drinks. I also like how this comes across as a person, a woman who's very confident in her sensuality. So just an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
She went on the The Penthouse Pauper. And I did not recognize or remember that one, so I had to look at it. Yeah, it's actually a song by CCR, and it goes into those thoughts of the wants and needs in the song itself. So I guess Betty kind of walked that line and did it well. I mean, there's a bit of humor in here, too. Luxurious, pussy cat, nice tease, and fine A. And I think she's enjoying letting her her goods hang out, so to speak.
Exactly.
All right, where would you like to go next?
All right, well, I see Tom is going for the night, so good night, Tom. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate
Thank you, Tom.
And up next, we have At the Front Door by Damn It Dave and Rex. Go ahead and give that either a sing or a read.
Oh, God. At the Front Door by Damn It Dave. I am not some mama's boy on her front porch, my boy. Sit next to her and make first base, maybe more. Imagination sets in. Is that a move I'm feeling? Do, do, do. Her dad's at the front door. Now my heart is doing cartwheels. Her dad ain't making no deals. I just spilled my Diet Pepsi on the wooden floor. So much for the cola or seeing areola. Do, do, do. Her dad's at the front door. Got a pair of 38s. He's holding in his hand. I don't think I'll see second base no more. Do, do, do. He's in ignition. I'm gone like a magician. Do, do, do. Her dad's at the front door. Seeing those loaded 38s he had there in his hand. I don't think I'll see this girl no more. Do, do, do. Things ain't going my way. I'm heading for the highway. Do, do, do. Her dad's at the front door. Okay, I'm a mama's boy. Going home with no joy. I could tell it just from looking that her dad was sore. Got away when I could. She can keep her girlhood. Do, do, do. Her dad's at the front door. And boom. Sounds like a little bit of country fun there, Dave. All right, Cal. What did you think?
I thought it was fun. A lot of fun. Oh, was that a boob? Oh, but Dad's got a gun. I think I'm leaving now. That was really, really fun.
Yeah, I just couldn't get the rhythm down for it. There are too many songs I've listened to in my head the last couple of hours. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. First of all, it just flowed so nicely. And wonderful humor. I like that he threw in the do, 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 her dad's at the front door. Like, you know, it's like he really wants to get his hand under that shirt, but you got to take your life into consideration. And when there's an angry dad at the door, well, your best bet is to go running. And, yeah, you're totally right, Rex. This does have that kind of whole almost like country fun feeling. And I do like that, really like, okay, I'm a mama's boy going home with no joy. That was great. Just excellent humor and very well done.
It is a great parody and spot on. I just couldn't get the rhythm right with it. And so I had to read it. But, yeah, this does, it's got that nice that country feel to it. And he's lucky it was just 38, because if he's running, he might miss with a 38. If it was a shotgun, he would miss with a chain. Nicely done, Dave. A lot of great humor in this. And it plays well off the song. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Our last poem for the night, and the rest will be carryovers for next week, will be Who'll Stop the Rain by Casey Day. And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
I would be happy to. Who'll Stop the Rain by Casey Day. I let the rain come down and fall upon my face, baptized from the heavens, wrapped in my own embrace. Rain reminds us all, through the fall we grow, This is our covenant with God. Only then appears a rainbow. Never stop the rain, important as the sun. Together life is born. Together we are one. And boom.
Great read, Cal. Thank you very much.
All right, Pam, what'd you think?
I enjoyed this brevity. I liked that she went with the spiritual idea. And I like how instead of focusing on the rain, she focused on the rainbow. This flowed beautifully. I like that never stop the rain, important as the sun. The other life is born. Together we are one. I really feel like those are lines that anybody can relate to and you know, understand that not only on the idea of farmland and growing, how important both sun and rain are, but how important it is for our own personal growth to go through both those sunshine days and those rainy days. So excellent brevity and absolutely very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Cal, you got to read it. How about
you? Oh, I really, really enjoyed this. And I read her Anne, you know, explaining that, you know, the rainbow, it comes from God as a reminder. Never saw the earth again. And I really like that bit. But it's just, it also has a wonderful rhythm and flow to it. It's spiritual. It's beautiful. I really quite liked it.
Thank you, Cal. I couldn't agree with you guys more. There's a nice little note there. Just using the thought of rain as a baptismal note from the heavens was a nice thought. And you know what? Without the rain, nothing grows. It anchors us. So rain feeds everything. It's the life and the blood of what makes us exist to begin with. So wonderful thought there, Casey. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
Well, I don't really want to push another right, so I'll just say awesome show,
right.
Rex.
Well, I've got next week's contest already. We're doing Sly and the Family Stone. So if you like a little funkadelic, that's definitely going to tickle your fancy.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, boom, like a boom, like a I wanna take you high up.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, I feel like, Rex, that should be one that you write a parody for. I think we all need to next week hear you sing a Family Sly parody.
Well, it was a trio. It was Sly, his brother, and his brother Freddie, and his sister Rose, who made up the core of the band.
What band was that?
The Family Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know that one.
Well, since it's a trio, we'll write a song and me, you, and Kel will sing it together. You can do the main part and we'll be your doo-wop girl. We'll be your funkadelic doo-wop girls.
Doo-wop, doo-wop, doo-wop,
yeah,
doo-wop.
Yeah, that's going to hit nicely.
Okay.
Great show, Pam, Kel, Dan, Tom. Thank you for sitting in to read and comment. You all did great tonight. And I saw some Marius on the board and a couple other people I can't remember at the moment. My board moves way too quickly, and trying to get it back is definitely not a good thing because we don't want it back. And we'll do this again next week with Sly and the Family Stone. All right, guys. Have a nice evening. Thank you very much.
Good show, Rex.